If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I like to do this Instagram story Q&A thing. And because of the, you know, limited spacing, so I couldn't give like a complete answer most of the time. So if you follow me, you would know that I sometimes would use one-liners, or I would repeat myself over and over again. And I don't do that, you know, to annoy people, or I don't do that just to be lazy. I do that to share simple principles that they can apply in their specific situation. That's why those answers are repetitive, because they are representative of a principle. Now, principles are evergreen. They're always relevant. However, how you apply in each situation differs according to your specific circumstances, right? So obviously, because of the limited nature of Instagram stories and the limited nature of, you know, myself and my time, I couldn't give a full answer to people. So that's why I just give principles, hoping that you will think about it and then you will try to apply it in your life. And one of the many principles that I operate myself, and also the one that I spread to people, is the principle: focus on what you can control. And a lot of people ask, what do you mean? What do you mean? And what I mean by focusing on what you can control, number one, it's not like a play on words or anything like that. I just mean literally. It's a simple phrase. It means literally focus on what you can control. Now, the explanation, it's quite simple, because the principle is quite simple, but the application is difficult. So I just want to let that be known. The application is the difficult part, but understanding of the principle is quite easy. So focusing on what you can control simply means, number one, you reflect on your life. You look around, you look at the things that are happening, and you are aware of the things that are happening, and you ask yourself, what can I control? In any given situation, what can I control? Because many a times we become frustrated or unhappy because we focus too much on what we cannot control. And then we become obsessed over it to a point where we simply destroy ourselves. I'll give you one example, okay? Let's say you are a parent and you're struggling with your son, all right? Your son is not listening to you, and you're trying your best to want to make sure that your son listens to you. So you do this, you do that, you do all these kind of things, and then you get frustrated. You are stressed out of your mind because you're trying to make your child listen to you. And that's a classic example of focusing on what you cannot control, because, like it or not, you cannot control your son. You can perhaps coerce or force your son to do certain things, but at the end of the day, you cannot control him, right? He may do things out of fear, out of intimidation, out of shame, but only for a moment. And then when you're gone, he's not going to do it anymore. So you cannot control your son. As much as you would like to think that you cannot control your son. In fact, you cannot control anybody, right? So to focus and to obsess over making him listen, you know, that's the word, making him listen. That's the point where many people become frustrated, stressed out, and ultimately unhappy. You are focusing on what you cannot control. So using this principle, focus on what you can control, let's take this same example, your son. You're struggling with your son. What can you control in that situation? Well, let's start with the obvious. I control myself. As a father, I control my words. I control my emotions. I control my actions. Okay, let's start with the obvious. I control that. Okay, is that it? That's all I can control? No, but that's a very good start to understand that the control that you have is all in your hands. And then to think, this is where you jump to the next level, to use your creative thinking and to use your critical thinking to operate within what you can control and then to move the steps closer to the change that you want to happen. Okay? And to understand that there's no guarantee in this, but in terms of probability, it might happen. Coming back to the sun example. So I cannot control my sun, but I can control me listening to my sun. I can control the way I treat my son. I can control the way I speak to my son. I can control the house environment that I provide for my son. I can control the, you know, if your son is little, the media consumption of my son, right? So even though I know I cannot control my son, but I can control the circumstances around my son, right? In the hope that one day, all the work that I have done will create a trusting environment where he feels comfortable enough with me, trusts me in order for him to now listen to me. But it has to begin with me listening to him. Now, at this point, some might say, why do I have to listen to him? Why don't he listen to me? Again, can you control him? No. Same goes with everything else. You know, some people say to me, you know, why do I have to listen to my father? My father never listens to me. Probably true, but can you control your father? You see, if we keep on obsessing over the things we cannot control, no wonder we become unhappy. If you change only if that person changes, then you have now willingly, without you even noticing, giving the power of change to somebody else, when in fact, the power of change was with you all along. Yes, I cannot control my father. He chooses not to listen to me. All right, I accept that. But I can choose to listen to him. What does it mean? It means that I can try to understand him. Why is it that he became that way? He became the man who tries so hard to control me, his son, and he doesn't want to listen to me. Why is it? Why is it my father become that way? That's something I can control. And once I figured out, okay, oh, my father, actually, he had this trauma during his childhood from his own father. And now, because he didn't deal with it, you know, understandably, not everybody has the psychological understanding of the human workings. So he may not know how to deal with it. So he kept it in, and now he simply transferred the frustration to me, his son. And now because I have the awareness and the understanding, perhaps I can break the cycle and not transfer the same misbehavior to my son. Now, where does this come from? It came from the fact that I now take control of what I can control. And instead of just waiting for him to listen to me, how about I listen to him? Understand his story. Understand his background. Understand why he became like that. Because no human beings just because became like that. There has to be a story behind every single thing that you see. And if you can understand that story, which by the way is something we can control, understand the story behind why people do stuff, why people do things, we can create a bit of empathy within ourselves. And perhaps, maybe that could increase the probability that that person now can listen to us. Because the thing about human beings is that when a person is heard, when he or she feels heard, he or she will be more likely to open up to now hear somebody else. That's what I mean when I say focus on what you can control. It's no magic. It's no shortcut. It's a lot of work, but it is what we can control. We do have the power. And if we focus a lot of our energy on those things, the things we can control, I believe at the end of the day, we'll become happier as a person, despite the outcome. You know, the outcome could be, you know, up till the very end, my father still won't listen to me. That could be the outcome. But still, because I focus only on what I can control, I can accept that, even though it's difficult, it's bitter. I can accept that because what's the alternative? The alternative is I keep on holding a grudge against my father forever. And what does that do with the relationship with my son now, with my own children? If I have all this like negative energy towards my parents, right? There's a higher chance that I might transfer it to my children. And we see that over and over again, our own childhood. And we all have those things, you know. So don't think to yourself, you know, I have a perfect childhood. We all have those things, those scars, big or small, that we get from our parents. You know, it's just part of life, you know. We have those scars. And being aware of those scars and to take charge of them instead of letting them take charge of us, meaning instead of letting those scars ruin your own relationship with your own children, you take charge by making a decision. You know what? Yes, my father made a huge mistake, but I'm not going to repeat the same mistake he did to my own children. So the cycle of negativity ends with you. And again, that's something you can control. And I'm giving that as just an example. Okay, this principle can be applied in so many different things, in your job interviews, in your sales pitch, in your, you know, cleaning of the house, in your hobby, in your work, in your personal relationship, professional relationship. It is something that I think can be applicable in most situations in life. So that's all about focusing on what you can control. Hopefully that helps. And if you have any more questions, hit me up. You know, my email inbox is open and my DMs is also open and comment section also open. But I cannot guarantee that I'll be able to answer them all. So you have been warned. Okay, let's go to Q&A from Instagram. So by the way, this is my Instagram account, Ayman Azlan 90. You can search for my name, Ayman Azlan 90. Let me just show you right here, Instagram, boom. So I'm just taking the responses that I got from my Instagram story Q&A sticker. Wow, that's a mouthful. Usually I get a couple of hundreds of these and usually I cannot answer them all. So I apologize. Okay, first question. Should I move on after being ghosted? The answer is that's your choice. Okay, so you have two choices. Either you don't move on or you move on, right? Simple. Either move on or don't move on. Now think, if I don't move on, what's the effect that it will have on me, on my emotions, on my ability to create future relationships? Is it good? Is it bad? Think about it, right? Do you want to stay that way? If you said no, then the next option is move on. Move on. Right? And maybe you ask, okay, I want to move on, but then how? Okay, that's a good question. How to move on? I even created a mini YouTube series on my YouTube channel. You can go to my YouTube channel, Ayman Azlan 90. Same thing, Ayman Azlan 90. There you go, boom. Search for how to move on. There's a mini 5-part series that I did, which was actually a talk that I gave in one of the colleges in Malaysia way back before the pandemic. And it's a series that I think will help in a lot of situations when it comes to moving on. And on top of that, last month, I did a webinar about marriage, how to gain redha. The webinar is called Menjadi Redha. Dan anda boleh dapati webinar tersebut di link ini, imazlan.com/kahwin. Sekarang semua webinar tu sudah pun berlalu, so yang tinggal adalah rakaman. Tapi insyaAllah dengan webinar pasal perkahwinan ni, saya berniat nak ulang banyak kali, buat live supaya kontennya sama je. Cumanya ulangan tu value dia adalah tang Q&A tu. Orang boleh tanya soalan directly dalam webinar tu dan saya akan jawab. Q&A saya spend banyak masa, 40 minit hingga ke sejam untuk Q&A sahaja. So kita akan dapat lihat banyaklah case study orang share, dan ada tinggi kemungkinannya benda yang orang share tu serupa macam benda yang you hadapi. Usually macam tu. Next question. Opinion. Jika orang tengah rahsiakan identiti perempuan kepada si lelaki sebab nak elak perempuan tu rasa awkward in the future. Opinion saya adalah ia bergantung kepada strategi anda. Okay, benda ni dia bukannya ada black and white complete like manual ataupun complete skema jawapan yang kena exactly ikut macam ni. Dalam Islam, apa yang kita ada adalah garis panduan. Okay, kita tahu boundary dia, itu je. Right, kita tahu boundary dia, tapi selebihnya tu dia bergantung kepada budaya, keadaan, circumstances, konteks. So ada ruang yang amat luas untuk kita exercise kita punya creativity dan juga critical thinking. Okay? Yang masih lagi berada dalam lingkungan batasan-batasan agama tu. Alright? So selagi mana you faham batasan agama, you tahu boundary dia di mana, selain daripada tu, you just buat saja ikut kreativiti anda. Selagi mana you faham batasan agama di mana. Okay? Dan kalau nak tahu like proses secara amnya macam mana nak approach perkahwinan, boleh rujuk siri kahwin saya di sini. Recording sudah siap. Saya buat last month, bulan April, 4 webinar yang total dia lebih kurang 6 jam. So saya terangkan daripada persiapan peribadi, macam mana nak mencari calon, macam mana nak ta'aruf, macam mana nak istikharah, apa jadi kalau kena reject, apa jadi kalau putus tunang, dan selepas tu pula saya go extra ke depan dalam tahun pertama perkahwinan apa nak buat. Okay, so semua di sini. Alright, next question. Parents refuse untuk jumpa bakal partner sebab dia tak pandai agama dan tak pergi masjid. Okay, so bila mana anda ada sebarang perbezaan pendapat dengan parents, saya punya jawapan yang standard adalah anda kena pandai negotiate dengan parents. Kalau anda rasa yang parents anda tidak reasonable, for whatever reason, you lebih mengetahui kan, anda rasa mungkin parents anda judge too soon ataupun mereka punya pendapat tu tak selari dengan agama, anda sebagai anak kena pandai nak negotiate dengan parents. Dan saya highlight benda ni sebab negotiation skill adalah satu skill yang amat penting dalam perkahwinan. You akan guna skill tu dalam perkahwinan nanti sebagai seorang suami, sebagai seorang isteri. So, anggaplah ini sebagai satu training, satu practice untuk you nak practice skill negotiation tu. Okay? So kena pandailah berkomunikasi macam mana nak tarik tolak tali tu. Okay, give and take. Selagi mana anda kekal ihsan dengan mak ayah, ihsan tu itulah perintah Allah dalam Quran kepada si anak. Kena kekal ihsan dengan mak ayah. Ihsan ni maksud dia kita tunjukkan akhlak yang terbaik. Ihsan tak bermaksud taat tau. Bukannya maksudnya kita anggok saja. Tak. Ihsan maksud dia kita tunjukkan akhlak terbaik. Tak kisahlah kita setuju dengan mak ayah kita atau kita tak setuju dengan mak ayah kita. Akhlak terbaik itu tetap satu hak mak ayah yang kita kena penuhi. Kita kena sentiasa tunjukkan akhlak yang terbaik tu. Sebab itulah ingat tak dalam ayat Quran ada yang kata kita nak kata uff kepada parents kita pun Allah larang. Itulah standard akhlak yang kita kena maintain dengan mak ayah kita. Nak kata uff ni macam apa, satu gesture yang paling kecil yang kita boleh buat yang menunjukkan yang kita ni kuajar dengan dia ataupun kita ni macam menunjukkan negativity toxic kepada dia. Macam kalau 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 culture Malaysia ni mungkin kita buat macam ni kot. Just buat muka je. Ha, itu lebih kurang macam uff lah. Benda sikit ya, benda kecil ya. Tapi itu ada benda yang kita boleh katakan tidak beradab lah. Okay? Tak bermakna kita kena sentiasa angguk apa benda mak ayah cakap. No. Maksud dia tak kisah you setuju, tak setuju, suka, tak suka. Akhlak tertinggi tetap kena ada. Itu standard dia. Okay? So katakanlah dalam situasi ni, you tak setuju dengan mak ayah you. Mak ayah you mungkin prejudge lelaki tu. So you tak setuju dengan keadaan tu, you kena pandai macam mana aku nak negotiate, macam mana aku nak utarakan pendapat aku pula tanpa aku kurang ajar dengan parents. Dan kurang ajar dengan parents ni bukan bergantung kepada definisi parents tu. Rata-rata isu yang selalunya berlaku adalah parents yang tentukan anak dia derhaka tak derhaka. Actually no, parents bukan parents yang tentukan, Allah yang tentukan. Okay, kita bukannya kata dia anak derhaka based on apa parents rasa. Oh, kalau macam tu para sahabat ramailah yang derhaka. Sebab ramai kot dia orang yang tidak ikut apa yang parents dia nak. Tapi dia orang kekal ihsan. Ihsan tak pernah jatuh daripada dia orang punya interaksi dengan mak ayah mereka. Faham eh? Faham eh? Faham eh? Okay. Ini bukan bermakna you boleh jadi rebellious eh? Rebellious tu terus tak ihsan. By definition, kalau you faham ihsan tu macam mana, dia bukannya rebel child, bukan. At the same time, kena faham, just because mak ayah you label you sebagai anak derhaka, tak bermaksud automatically you anak derhaka. Kena tengok dulu. Everything by evidence, everything by substance. Kita bukan tengok label je. Orang boleh label kita kafe, tapi mana bukti dia? Kan, label saja tak cukup. Label you, siapa-siapa boleh bagi label je tak? Sesat, kafe, blablabla. Tapi mana dia punya bukti dia? Sebab tanpa bukti label tu tidak ada makna lah. Kan? Boleh jadi dia backfire balik kepada orang yang bagi label tu. Contohnya macam label kafe kan. Kita tak boleh senang-senang panggil orang kafe tau kalau kita tidak ada bukti yang kukuh. So lebih elok janganlah kita pandai-pandai nak guna perkataan tu. Tak ada ke buat buku atau letak dalam website Q&A session? Q&A session ni. Q&A session ni ada terlalu banyak. Sampaikan saya tak mampu nak buat satu koleksi. Kalau ada siapa yang sanggup silalah. Saya alu-alukan. Bolehlah tolong saya kumpulkan semua Q&A yang saya buat ni dan letakkan dalam satu bentuk buku ke apa ke. Kita boleh buat kolaborasi, kita boleh jual buku tu sebagai e-book ke apa ke kan. Boleh. Tapi saya sebagai orang yang buat kerja ni solo, saya tak ada like team yang tetap. Semua ni saya buat sendiri sahaja. So tak mampulah, konten saya buat keluar ni banyak sangat. Tak mampu saya nak bukukan ke apa ke. Ada setengah benda tu saya berjaya bukukan. Macam buku-buku yang saya tulis dengan Imam Publication, semua tu itu berjaya saya bukukan. Tapi nak bukukan kesemuanya tu mungkin perlukan lebih banyak daripada dua tangan ni lah. Okay. Next question. Saya ibarat digantung tak bertali. Tiada ya atau tidak dari dia. Perlukah saya terus tunggu? Wah, ayat dia. Digantung tak bertali. Tu dia. Maknanya ni lah. Maknanya si dia tu tak bagi jawapan jelas. Ya pun tak, tak pun tak. So dia jadi confused. Dia macam, aku nak buat apa ni kan? So patut tunggu ke ataupun teruskan? Again, saya nak letakkan kuasa decision tu kepada anda. Anda rasa macam mana? Kalau anda terus menunggu dalam keadaan yang tak menentu tu, entah jawapan dia ya, entah jawapan dia tak. Kita tanya, dia tak nak jawab. So anda kalau kekal menunggu dalam keadaan macam tu, just fikir. Apa efek kepada emosi anda? Satu lagi cara adalah, imagine kalau benda yang sama ni berlaku kepada kawan baik anda ataupun adik anda. Agak-agak anda sebagai orang yang rapat dengan dia, apa nasihat anda nak bagi dekat dia? Itu satu lagi cara nak fikir. Alright? Kalau benda yang sama ni jadi kat my best friend, adakah saya akan kata kat best friend saya, tunggu je lah. Ataupun saya akan kata kat dia, you know you kena move on lah. I mean, kesian kat you tengok macam ni. So fikir. So nak move on ke nak stay? Okay? Someone cakap, kahwin bukan saja cari pasangan yang hormat kita, tapi family pasangan juga hormat kita. Someone cakap, okay, so you kena tanyalah orang yang cakap tu, apa maksud dia? So dia kena bahaskan benda tu. Saya tak boleh bahaskan on his behalf sebab dia yang cakap benda tu. So adalah atas dia untuk menerangkan. Okay? Kalau saya terangkan, dikira saya punya pemahaman lah, bukannya si dia yang bercakap dekat you tu. So kalau you tertanya-tanya, apa maksud dia? Betul ke tak betul ni? Tanya dia. Tanya yang cakap tu. For children, pemilihan buku fiction atau non-fiction akan mempengaruhi dia exploration and imagination ke? Jawapannya, yeah. Buku fiction, non-fiction ataupun media lah in general, tak kisahlah media bertulis, media bergambar, media audio atau video, semua ni sama ada kita sedar ataupun tidak sedar, ia akan memberi kesan kepada diri kita. Dari segi cara kita melihat dunia, cara kita bawa diri, bahasa kita, pemikiran kita. Sebab ini adalah saya katakan makanan minda. Okay? Macam sebiji macam makanan badan, apa yang kita makan itu yang kita produce. Kalau kita makan benda yang tak sihat, maka badan kita akan produce juga benda-benda yang tak sihat. Okay? Kalau kita makan benda yang sihat, kita akan produce benda yang sihat. Sama juga dengan minda kita. Kalau benda yang masuk tu benda sihat, benda yang keluar juga benda yang sihat, insyaAllah. Okay? So, saya nak bagi satu alang-alang dia sebut fiction, non-fiction ni. Saya nak buat satu, apa nama ni? Promosi. Promosi. So, rakan saya, Hilal Ashraf, mungkin ramai yang pernah dengar nama tu. Hilal Ashraf, seorang penulis novel yang hebat. Saya tabik dia. Dia bagi saya satu set buku novel grafik gelombang baru dia. Ini masih lagi ada plastik ni. Okay. Okay. Dan dia hadiahkan kepada saya untuk saya hadiahkan kepada anda sebagai satu giveaway. Ha, ni free giveaway lah ni. So, macam mana saya nak buat giveaway ni? Okay. Cara dia adalah percuma saja, anda tak payah keluar satu sen pun. Anda kena first subscribe kepada YouTube channel saya. Okay, ini salah satu caranya lah untuk kita nak ada win-win situation. Subscribe kepada YouTube channel saya, youtube.com/aimanazan90. Okay, bermula hari ini sampai hari Jumaat. Hari ini Rabu, Khamis, Jumaat. Jumaat last. Okay, hari ini sampai hari Jumaat. So, saya akan pilih at random salah seorang subscriber saya untuk dapatkan buku ini percuma. Okay, itulah dia. Itu cara nak dapat giveaway ni. Just subscribe saya punya YouTube channel, dah cukup. Itu je. Tak payahlah buat kerja buat banyak. Subscribe je. Tak payah nak buat karangan ke, nak hantar email ke, tak payahlah. Just klik subscribe dekat YouTube channel saya and then saya akan pilih hari Jumaat ni siapakah yang akan dapat buku ini. Gelombang baru, buku by Hilal Ashraf. Ini buku grafik novel yang menceritakan kumpulan bola tanpa materi Perlis, dia punya perjuangan nak bertanding dalam pertandingan bola tanpa. Nampak macam simple tapi sebenarnya dalam dia orang punya usaha tu nak bertanding ada banyak diselitkan life advices lah. Dan saya nampak benda ni sesuai untuk remaja, sesuai untuk mereka di sekolah. Sebab banyak isu yang dibincangkan tu isu-isu sekolah tau. Saya baca-baca-baca, saya ingat balik, oh saya ke asrama dulu macam ni. Isu yang memang isu, sebab Hilal pun pernah duduk asrama juga. So dia letakkan isu-isu real life dalam tu. So dia menyebabkan adanya unsur realism dalam buku fiction ni. So it's very good. So again, subscribe saja dekat YouTube channel saya ni. Jumaat ni saya akan pilih siapa yang bertuah dapat ni for free. Okay, nak subscribe pun free. Tak ada bayar apa pun. Tu dia. Free. Ada lagi tak guys yang terima bakal zaujah yang tak bekerja zaman sekarang ni? I feel like akan membebankan bakal zauj saja. So, zaujah adalah wife. Zauj adalah suami. Okay, kepada mereka yang tak biasa dengan terminologi tu. Zauj lelaki, zaujah wanita. So, zauj ni maksudnya pasangan kita. Zauj suami, zaujah isteri. So ada tak guys yang boleh terima bakal zaujah yang tak bekerja zaman sekarang ni? Well, Hila Ashraf boleh. Ni Hila Ashraf ni lah. Wife dia tak kerja. Actually, wife dia tolong dia. Tolong dia buat bisnes. So, jawapan dia ya. Ada. Ada lelaki yang masih lagi boleh menerima. So, tentang soalan you ataupun tentang concern you yang pasal membebankan bakal suami, itu bergantung. Dia konteks base benda tu. Like, bebankan in what sense? Duit? Okay, duit pula in what sense? What kind of lifestyle you nak? Right? Itu you boleh tentukan tu. Kalau katakanlah you punya income setakat ni, maka lifestyle you biarlah serupa atau di bawahnya. Nampak tak? Janganlah pula income setakat ni tapi lifestyle Masya Allah setakat ni. Itu kita boleh design dalam perkahwinan kita. Suami isteri, bincang, musyawarah. Kita tahu gaji kita banyak ni, okay, tak payahlah kita nak beli kereta yang besar ataupun duduk rumah yang mewah sebagainya kan. Kita boleh adjust kehidupan kita supaya kena dengan keadaan kewangan kita. Ini bukan nak kata yang apa, tidak ada langsung kesusahan kewangan dalam perkahwinan. No, ada. Orang kaya ada, orang miskin pun ada. Percayalah, orang kaya pun ada problem, orang miskin pun ada problem juga bab kewangan. It is like one of the thing yang saya rasa kalau saya sembang mana-mana orang yang dah berkahwin, benda dia orang sebut selalu. Saya pun ada juga masalah tu, percayalah. So it's not something you can avoid. Ini, this is one of the fikir macam ni lah. Ini adalah salah satu cabaran hidup yang anda nak lalui bersama pasangan. Inilah cabaran hidup yang kalau anda lalui bersama dengan baik, ia akan menyebabkan hubungan tu lagi akrab. Okay, cabaran hidup tu. So again, you boleh design benda tu. Like for example, kalau katakanlah duduk kat negeri ni, dia punya cost of living terlalu tinggi, kita tak mampu, pindah negeri lain. Memanglah bunyi macam, oh senang kau cakap. Memanglah senang cakap, susah nak buat. Saya tahu. Tapi pokok pangkal dia adalah, itu adalah decision yang anda boleh buat. That's my point. It's a decision you can make. Right? Not an easy decision, I know that, but it is a decision that is possible to make. Okay? Alright, so kita stop dulu untuk Instagram. Kita pergi dekat comment section dan kita lihat. Okay, this is not a story. Not a question, but more of a story. I think this is a good story to share. I was in a great heartbroken state while trying to be a better person. I am all alone, don't know where to share my feelings right now. I'm not really open to anyone to tell my stories, even to my mom. So I tend to keep all of my issues to myself. I just want you to pray for me, pray for the jodoh thing, thank you. So number one, it seems like whether you realize it or not, you want to share this with somebody. Otherwise, you wouldn't write this in a public forum, right? There's something inside of you that has the need to want to share this with others. And by the way, that's human. That is human. It's human nature that we want to share with others. Not just the good stuff, but also the problems, because we cannot deal with it all by ourselves, right? I mean, look at the prophets, all of them, right? They weren't alone in their journey. They had somebody beside them, whether it be their family or their friends. They had somebody beside them. So it's not like, usually people say, I don't need other people, I have Allah. Technically true, but practically wrong. Okay, there's truth in it. Like ultimately, Allah is everything. I agree, but practically how you place that in real life is wrong, because the prophets were not like that. They weren't alone. They reach out, they ask for help, they have people beside them, even though you can argue easily that they had the closest connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they're trying to teach us through example that, hey, we're still human beings. We still need each other. Right? So I feel for you, really. I feel for you, and I pray that Allah gave you the strength to reach out to somebody, not just in a public forum, not just in a comment section, but to like somebody physically with you, somebody you can cry together with. And it's okay to cry. I don't stigmatize crying. I don't stigmatize emotions. Emotions are a normal part of human existence. You are not human if you don't have emotions, right? So I hope you can find the courage to reach out to somebody, whether it be somebody within your social circle or a professional, like a counselor, psychiatrist, psychologist, whoever that you can reach out to, or simply, you know, a hotline like Talian Kasih 15999. Talian Kasih is available 24/7. Just to get it off your chest, because we're not designed to hold it all inside for a very, very, very long time. We're not designed to do that. We cannot. We will break down otherwise. We are designed to share. That's in our nature as human beings. Bertahun dah subscribe. Thank you. Bertahun dah subscribe. Nak books, okay. Macam-macam saya cakap tadi lah, subscribe dekat YouTube channel saya. InsyaAllah saya pilih seorang hari Jumaat ni untuk jadi pemenang dia. Salam Tuan Aiman. Waalaikumsalam. Macam mana nak ada self-control daripada overspend money? I feel like saya tak boleh kawal diri sendiri walaupun saya dah ikut macam-macam method untuk saving. First, saya nak kena audit dululah apa method yang you dah guna, right? Sebab kalau saya bagi jawapan tapi benda tu you dah guna dah, tak ada guna juga kan? So, kena go deeper lah into what methods you dah guna and how you guna method tu. Sebab method ni dia ada dua benda. Satu what, satu how. What is the method and how do you use it? Sebab cara penggunaan pun ada faktor dia dalam menentukan sama ada benda tu berkesan ataupun tidak. Sebagai contoh, phone. How do you use your phone? Ada orang guna phone, dia kata phone ni tak berguna lah, saya guna tapi tak ada manfaat. And then saya tanya dia, macam mana you guna? And dia kata, saya guna macam ni. Saya letak terbalik kat telinga, saya cakap, hello, hello, hello. Tak ada orang jawab pun. Rupa-rupanya cara dia guna yang salah. So bukannya salah alat tu. Okay. Salah dia adalah cara penggunaan yang tak kena. Sebab itulah you tak dapat outcome yang you nak tu. Sebagai contoh, puasa. Right? Puasa kita tahu dalam ajaran Islam, dia membantu kita mengawal nafsu. Tapi nanti orang kata, tu ada lagi yang duk tengok pornografi lah, yang duk meraba-raba orang lah bulan puasa ni. Tu macam mana? Puasa tak berkesan ke? Puasa ni buang masa ke? No, bukan salah puasa. Cara kita berpuasa tu sebenarnya memberi efek kepada kesan puasa kepada kita. So, berbalik kepada you, macam mana you guna method tu? Okay, method-method ada banyak tau dalam financial management. Alright, so macam mana you guna? Itu kita kena investigate. So, sebabkan soalan you tidak ada konteks yang lebih mendalam, so saya pun tersangkutlah daripada nak bagi penjelasan lebih mendalam. Apa saya boleh bagi tahu adalah kena faham dulu you guna macam mana benda tu, betul ke cara you guna, and then kena faham juga you punya rutin macam mana, kena faham juga apa yang menyebabkan you sangkut. So saya sarankan macam ni, you kena cari orang yang boleh dijadikan sebagai mentor ataupun somebody yang boleh tolong you audit you punya keadaan kewangan. Kalau tak ada siapa-siapa dalam keluarga atau dalam kalangan kawan yang boleh tolong, you boleh cuba cari mereka yang profesional. Sebagai contoh, dekat Malaysia ni kita ada AKPK sebagai contoh. Agensi Kaunseling Pengurusan Kredit. Agensi Kaunseling dan Pengurusan Kredit, AKPK. Usually orang dengar AKPK ni bila mana hutang banyak. Terus pergi AKPK. Tapi sebenarnya AKPK dia ada juga resources untuk membantu orang sebelum hutang tu banyak. Bantu kita untuk nak upgrade pengurusan kewangan, kewangan peribadi, supaya kita tak adalah terjerumus dalam keadaan di mana kita dibelenggu hutang yang terlalu banyak. Satu lagi yang saya tahu adalah Hijrah Wealth Management, company yang based di Ampang kalau tak silap saya, masih ada dekat situ kot. dipelopori oleh salah seorangnya Hajah Rohani, seorang public figure lah dalam bidang pengurusan kewangan kat Malaysia ni. Boleh juga pergi kat sana, boleh Google mereka, dapatkan nombor telefon, call and then dapatkan like appointment ke untuk buat consultancy. So yeah, itu antara benda yang you boleh buat. Tapi untuk keadaan sekarang ni, saya tak boleh nak bagi jawapan yang mudah because ini very kena spesifik kepada individu tau. Because setiap orang tu dia ada kes-kes yang berbeza-beza. So yeah. Saya terbagi harapan kepada dua wanita tanpa sedar. Saya layan mereka biasa-biasa je, tapi mereka kata saya bagi harapan. How? Well, kalau you tak berniat nak buat benda tu dan you pun tak sedar yang apa, you just layan dia orang biasa-biasa je, tapi dia orang yang interpretasikan benda tu sebagai oh dia bagi harapan. Number one, mungkin you boleh be more careful dengan cara you berinteraksi dengan wanita. But number two, kena faham yang at the end of the day you tak boleh nak kawal interpretasi orang tau. Kan? You do your best so that you tak bagi signal yang mix, you know. You do your best untuk nak make sure yang you tidak bagi harapan tu, tapi at the end of the day you juga kena faham yang ada ketikanya kita tak boleh kawal benda ni. Orang yang interpretasikan benda tu. Okay, itu adalah dia punya isu, you know, sebab dia yang entah macam mana salah interpretasi kita punya action, walaupun kita jelas sudah action tu tidak ada sebarang konotasi romantik ke apa ke. But at the same time, so kena balance eh. At the same time, kita juga kena berhati-hatilah. Itu je lah yang kita boleh buat. Cuma kena faham yang ada benda kita tak boleh kawal, iaitu interpretasi orang. How to convince my parents that the person that I like is capable, decent looking and good person? Okay. It depends on how well you know your parents, number one. And number two, it depends on how good your communication skills are. Two things. How well you know your parents, how good your communication skill are. And then last point is that you can try your best, and that is the part that you can control, but at the end of the day, you cannot control your parents' response. Faham tak? Okay? Even though you have done your best, you use your best communication skill, you have understood your parents to the T, but still your parents tak agree juga, that's something you cannot control. Okay? That's something you cannot control. That's the fact. That's just the reality of life. Now, can you still get married with a man even though your parents don't agree? That's a different story lah. Okay? Kita akan masuk bab hukum, kita akan masuk bab legislatif, sebab ada situasi yang mana kita pun belajar kan dekat sekolah dulu bab perkahwinan. Ada situasi di mana kalau wali tak setuju tapi tanpa sebab yang diterima oleh syarak, maka si wanita tu boleh, masih lagi boleh berkahwin dengan lelaki tu tanpa persetujuan wali. Tapi benda ni benda yang saya tak layak nak bahas banyak lah. Ini just benda saya ingat waktu saya belajar, waktu kita lah, kita belajar pendidikan agama Islam dulu kan. Ini antara benda yang saya ingat dalam perbincangan dalam kelas tu lah. So you boleh rujuk maybe peguam syariah ataupun ustaz yang specialize dalam bidang hukum hakam keluarga Islam. So, kalau situasi yang macam ni, contohnya you dah cari lelaki yang elok, lelaki yang you berkenan, lelaki yang ada ciri-ciri suami yang elok, ayah yang elok, and ayah, mak ayah you pula reject atas dasar yang tidak munasabah, you boleh buat argument tu dan maybe you boleh gunakan cara legal untuk still nak berkahwin dengan lelaki tu. But, still juga you kena consider apakah efek kepada hubungan you dengan mak ayah nanti. You know? Either way, there's no easy option. You kena gunakan all the skills that you have in terms of your communication skill, your emotional regulation skill, your listening skill, how well you understand your parents. Semua ni akan, sebab, you know, this is the interesting part about perkahwinan tau. Kita dengar yang perkahwinan tu melengkapkan separuh agama kan? Betul tak? Betul tak? Betul tak? Tapi pernah tak kita terfikir apa sebenarnya dalam perkahwinan yang boleh melengkapkan separuh agama tu? Because separuh agama is a lot, kan? So obviously bukannya free-free yang boleh lengkap separuh agama. Mesti ada something. So saya fikir benda ni banyak kali tentang separuh agama, separuh agama, separuh agama ni. And I think separuh agama ni dia bukannya fulfill secara automatik tau. Dia akan fulfill sekiranya kita boleh mengharungi cabaran perkahwinan tu dengan jayanya. You know? Then separuh agama kita lengkap. So bukannya macam you kahwin, you rasa macam okay separuh agama aku selesai. Lepas tu you abuse isteri you. Oh tak jadi. Mana ada separuh agama lengkap macam tu. So it's not an automatic thing, I believe. It's something that you kena work on. And I think this is part of it, you know. This is part of the melengkapkan separuh agama tu. Whereby you kena pandai and you kena usaha untuk nak deal dengan perbezaan pendapat dengan parents, nak deal macam mana nak berkomunikasi dengan parents dalam keadaan yang konflik, macam mana nak handle konflik, macam mana nak make sure aku kekal ihsan sebagai seorang anak. Semua tu tak senang. Tak senang. Tapi pokok pangkal dia adalah semua ujian ni akan membina diri kita. Akan membina diri kita untuk menjadi individu yang lebih baik. InsyaAllah. Itu harapannya. Okay. So, saya akan habis tang tu sahaja. So, saya akan stop dekat situ. So, again, ulangan eh. Kalau siapa-siapa yang berminat nak dapatkan set lengkap gelombang baru oleh Hilal Ashraf, saya akan bagi giveaway percuma kepada anda sekiranya anda subscribe kepada YouTube channel saya. Saya akan pilih seorang lucky winner pada hari Jumaat ni. So you boleh ajaklah siapa-siapa yang berminat untuk nak subscribe kepada YouTube channel saya. Saya akan pick at random siapa yang bertuah dan insyaAllah saya akan bagi ni. Untuk orang Malaysia je lah eh. Obviously sebab saya tahu subscriber saya tu ada daripada luar Malaysia. Tapi ini untuk orang Malaysia aje. Okay, yang berada di Malaysia. Orang Malaysia berada di Malaysia. Lagipun ni buku bahasa Melayu kot. So kalau unless you belajar bahasa Melayu tapi you bukan di negara Malaysia, which is tabik lah dekat you. Tapi ini untuk Malaysian yang tinggal di Malaysia. So saya akan hantar buku ni kepada anda jika anda terpilih sebagai pemenang bertuah. So go to YouTube channel saya, youtube.com/imazaz90 dan subscribe. Saya akan pilih hari Jumaat ni. Okay, itu sahaja daripada saya. Dah habis dah. Thank you very much. Dah pukul 2 dah ni. Semua nak kena sambung kerja. Saya nak kena solat. Until next time. Jumpa esok. Assalamualaikum semua. Bye.